I heard on the radio before that the Mets won today something like 11-1. So in baseball, when a team wins by a wide margin like that, you say that which you could save your runs for another day. So I feel the way Parshas Kisei say, there's so many topics to talk about, I feel like we should save some of them for Parshas Pekudei. They have to pick something. So I thought tonight we'd discuss the lav of Baal Talin of not paying workers on time. So in the first page of the Mar Mekomos, Pasuk says, Kav Dal Yud Aled, Lo Sashok Sachir Ani Vevyon Meyachecha Omni Gercha Shir Be'arzecha B'sharecha V'yamos Yitain Tzacharo V'lo Savo Lav HaShemesh Ki Ani Hu Ve'lav Hu Nusei Sazmo Nafsho, to pay him on that day because he is poor. Lo Yikra Alecha L'Hashem V'yavecha Chet. And then you have the parallel pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, Lo Salin Pulas Sachir Echad Boker. So one is talking about a Sachir Yom, one is talking about a Sachir Laila. A worker who works at night, you have to pay by the end of the night. A worker who works by day, you have to pay by the end of the day. Says the Ramban, look at the second page of the Mar Mekomos, Pasuk Yudalit. The Pasuk ostensibly is only talking about a poor person. Says the Ramban, Yedaber Kasev Vehove. That's just talking about the normal situation. Sha'aniyim Vavyonim Vagerim Maskirim Atzmam. Who goes to work? The rich people don't have to work. It's the poor people that have to work. V'cheinim Kesev Talves Ami Esani Imach Losi Alokin Hoshev. So that also applies to anyone. It just happens to be that the person who takes a loan is usually an ani. So there's no distinction in halacha between an ani and an usher. The lav of lo salin applies equally to the poor as to the rich. The Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma, on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, which is the sugya of halanas schar sachir. So if you look at about a third of the way down the long lines on Kufid Aleph Amid Aleph, the Gemara says, by the Dalit and the Einit Mishpat, Kolakovesh Skar Sakhir over Beheshemos Halalu. The essay. That if a person violates this lav, if you don't pay your worker on time, you potentially violate five lavin and you violate one Isser essay. Baal Tashok, Baal Tigzol, Baal Tashok Sakhir Ani, Baal Talib, Yomosi Tain Sakharo, Losav Alav Hashemesh, and you also have, and that's the essay of the Amos Yitain Tzchavah. So you have five lavin and essay. Discussion, can you really be over the five lavin at the same time? The pashtus is, one of them is on the Sker Yom, one of them is on the Sker Laila, so it means you have the potential of violating any combination of up to five lavin, but you can't necessarily violate all five lavin at the same time. Some Rishonim figure out that maybe you can, but that's not our discussion now, but it's a, you see, in this quote in Shulchan Aruch, that there are multiple lavin a person can violate as well as an Isser Essay or Bittel Essay of B'Yamos Yitain Tzcharo. And the inverse, if you do pay on time, so then you're Mekayim, that Essay of B'Yamos Yitain Tzcharo. Take a look at Simen Shin Lamites Seif I'm actually going to read you from Sif Aleph, if you don't have the Mar Mekomos here. But it says, Shin Lamed. Oh, we do have it here. Okay, yes, on the bottom. Sorry. Okay, Shin Lamed Tes Aleph. My apologies. Mitzvah Lase Skar Sachir Bizmano. Now, there's a mitzvah to pay the wages of a worker on time. Vim Ichro over Belav. And if you delay, you violate a lav. Lav Echad. Sachir Adam Abehema Okelim. Avala Skar Karka. Not. Yesh Bishover Shein Over. Fine. Then skip to Se'if. Actually, we'll stop there for now. So it says that you violate the law of Echad Sacher Adam O Behema. Chavetz Chaim writes in Avas Chesed, first part of Avas Chesed, which is the Chavetz Chaim's work on Mitzvah Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. So Perek Tes Se'if Beis. Chavetz Chaim writes, Sif Hei. Chavetz Chaim writes that this din applies. We now have the second part of it. Okay. My apologies. I'll read it from here. Gam bekatan shesachar leizapula shayipo kol dina manal. So the halachas of paying a worker on time apply not only to a gadol but a katan as well. The Chalkas Binyamin, Rabbi Binyamin Cohen, Rafael Cohen's son, in his Chalkas Binyamin on Hilchas Skiris Polim points out that the Pashtus is when we say that the lav applies to a katan, it means a katan shiagil legil putas, a katan who is 6 years old, who has some understanding of Mecha Chomemka, what it means to buy and sell. A katan younger than that, if you make a contract with him to hire him, that has no validity because he doesn't really have a saga as what it means to make money, to transact monetarily. But then he raises the following question. What happens, Ikar HaDin is that if you have a katan who's samech al shulchan aviv, a katan who's not independently wealthy and is dependent on his parents for support, or for that matter, even a over bar mitzvah age boy who's dependent on his parents for support. So the din is that, technically speaking, whatever money he makes goes to his father, that his profits go to the father. So in that case, you hire a 10-year-old boy to babysit. So who does the employer technically have to pay? And if he doesn't pay, at what stage does he violate this law? So does he have to pay the kid who babysits, and does he have to pay the father? Because ultimately, the babysitting money that the kid makes is really going to go to the father, unless the father doesn't want to take it. But technically speaking, it goes to the father. So he assumes, as a Dabra Pasha, that the fact that the son and the father of this relationship is their problem, so to speak, but the contractual relationship between the employer and the employee is with the kid. So you hire the kid, you have to pay the kid. But then he raises the following question. Let's say you did pay the father. So are you in violation of Baal Talin if you pay the father instead of the kid? Because ultimately, the money is going to go to the father anyway. So you're going to say, if you pay the father instead of the kid, maybe you violated Baal Talin because you didn't pay the kid who's your employer, or you didn't because ultimately the money is going to go to the father. And the same thing with the daughter, who's Maisi Adeha Lavia. Or he says in the inverse. The din is, as we'll see, that you only violate this law if the employee asks for payment. So he's leaving the office at the end of the day, he stops by the boss's office and says, please pay me. The boss doesn't pay him, so the boss violates this law or however many lavin. If you don't ask for the money, so then technically speaking, you may violate an Issa Darabanan, but you haven't violated the Issa Daraisa. So what happens if the father of the girl or boy in this case asks for the money, but the kid doesn't ask him or herself? So are you in violation? Does that count as a tvi on the part of the employee that'll trigger the lav of Baal Talin or not? So that he leaves as a tzarach ian, whether that's the case or not. But the bottom line, the lav of Baal Talin in the essay of the Amot Titein Sklaro, even though it's not beferish in the Gemara or in Shulchan Aruch, Chafetz Chaim says that's pashit, that applies to Ketanim as well. So that you have to bear in mind when you hire a katan to babysit or any other job around the house, then, or if you promise a katan you're going to pay them for whatever task, you actually have to stick with it and pay them. Otherwise, you're potentially violating multiple lavin. Okay, let's go back to the Shulchan Aruch here. Shin Lamed Tes Se'if Gimel. Actually, before we do that, let's go to the next page. Shin Lamed Vav Sif Beis. Shin Lamed Vav Sif Beis. Hasocher es hapoel lasas bishalo, o lilka lo davar shel hefker. So if you hire a worker to do whatever work on your property, or to do work on your behalf in his property, or to gather something min a hefker, you can't tell him, okay, you're working, sorry, my property, you're harvesting my crops, so you can take whatever you want, and that'll be your wages. You have to pay him proper wages. If the worker agrees to be paid with essentially shava kasef, that's one thing. But you can't pay the worker shava kasef, you actually have to pay him cash that is ready to use. Piskei Tshuva here in Sifkatan Aleph references a machlokes between Rashi and the Rashba in the Gemara Bava Mitzia Daf Kufi Zayin of the days. So take a look at the next page of the Marmar Kamos. Shita B'Kubed says Bava Mitzia Kufi Zayin of the days Kufi Chesam Aleph. The right side column where it says Rashba on the side, Masha Shanina. So Masha Shanina, this is the Gemara there in Kuf Yuches, the Poel, Shem Amrlo told Masha Vesa Bitzkaka Shein Shamrlo that you can't pay him with Shava Kesef, Perish Rashi. Alpha Gav the Bechol Duchtar, Mina Shava Kesef Kesef, even though in general Bechol Tarakula, if you have to pay for Nezikin, you can pay Shava Kesef just as well as Kesef, you don't have to pay actual money. Halcha Gabi Baltolin Skaro, Ksiv, my the asni bahade mashba. So it's mashba that's the normal stipulation. Normal stipulation on the circumstances would be to pay money. Lo nehira, taksi pulas sachir. Klamer mashet achayv lo machmas pulas sach asam chay. It's whatever you owe him. So you could owe him shabbat kasev also. Alataima, mishum the shlosh adina muchlachim yesh betashlumin. There are three different categories of payment. There is a loan. There is hezek. And there's schiras, there's employment, and there are different standards for how you pay them. Milva koshiyish b'yoda mos chayv lefra b'mos. When it comes to a loan, the primary repayment is with money. If you don't have money, then you could take other property. Schiras afilo elo mos armina lezil ad traf v'zavin. When it comes to schiras, you have to pay actual money. And there's no fallback option of paying Shava Kesef. And basically, Shuva quotes a expanded understanding of this, that this has to do with the need for cash on hand on the part of the employee. If you're talking about a poor employee, so he's living from hand to mouth, he needs the day's wages to go and buy whatever food he needs for that night, he can't do that with Shava Kesef. If you're going to give him a watch, not going to help him. So you have to pay him actual money, bimizuma. So that seems to be what we assume, that when it comes to paying wages, you have to pay actual money that is usable. There's a discussion among contemporary poskim, what about paying with a check? So in Rabbi Bodner's English book, The Laws of Other People's Money, he quotes a tshuva from a Moshe, which is not printed in the Igros Moshe, but in some other sefer, which I couldn't find, called Mila de Nezikin, couldn't find it in Osar Chachma. But he quotes verbatim where Moshe writes, that it has to do with how easily you could get money from the check. If it's a check that you can go into a store and countersign the check and buy things with that check, so then that would be fine. But if there's another step removed between the check and being able to have cash on hand, then that would potentially be a problem. So he quotes, and maybe that's the difference between Eretz Yisrael and America. In Eretz Yisrael, at least at the time that this was written, it was easier to buy things with checks. I think that's changed. In America, you can't usually go into a store and buy something with a check that you countersign. So he thinks that maybe it should be dependent on how easy one can use a check to buy things. Now, some of the Svarim talk about, he quotes from Rav Yashiv, that if you're going to pay with a check when the bank is open, so then you were Mekai and Biyamoti Thains Karo because you go right to the bank and cash the check now. If the bank is closed, then maybe not. Another person can say, even if the bank is closed, but you have the cash, you have the check in hand, and you can go the next morning, but maybe that is good enough. Right, so nowadays, if with online banking, it probably doesn't make a difference when the bank is open or closed, and if you have a check, you can probably do something with it.
It takes $24
to post. Right, but sometimes they'll credit you in advance.
Someone's really so poor and needs the day-to-day, I'm not sure. It probably depends on...
And that's not cash in hand, right?
Right.
But even sometimes you deposit a check in the bank, you can... a certain percentage of that those funds are available right away. So may... Now some... Rav Sturmbach has the following, that could address your point. Chuvas van Hagos Chela Gimbal Simen Tuf Ayin Chela Gimbal Simen Tuf Ayin, that even if you assume, as far as the essay of Biyamoti Tein Scharo, even if you assume that a check would not be a kiyam of Biyamoti Tein Scharo, so he says what you could do is pay 99% of what you owe with a check, and the last 1% are just the pruta cash, and then you'd be Mekai in the midst of Biyamoti Tein Scharo with whatever cash you actually give him. In the Sefer Mishpat HaPolim here, written by Rav Yosef Rasner from Ashdod, Tavshin Samosayin, he says, it's Pasha that if you give a check and it bounces, that if you know that it's going to bounce, that you violated the law and you have to be Mekai in the Sefer. But let's say it bounces due to circumstances beyond your control. that there was some technical glitch that caused the check to bounce, but it wasn't really your fault. So he clears whether you still be Makai in the essay of the Emoti Tein Sparo, because you did the best that you could, and there was some onus that prevented the... At the time that you gave him the check, it was a check that was usable. And the fact that subsequent to that, there's some onus that happened was beyond your control. Okay. The Gemara has in Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Beis, just go back a little bit. See the line I'm looking for. The Gemara talks about Shukai de Sura. You see that? The shopkeepers in Sura. Let's take a look at how it's going in Shulchan Aruch then. Simon Shin Lamed Tes Sif Tes. Shin Lamed Tes Sif Tes. The Gemara talks about Shukai de Sura, the shopkeepers in Sura who were notorious for not having cash on hand at time, on time. So it says here in Sif Tes, so an employee knows that the boss won't have money until the Yom HaShuk. So he doesn't violate Baal Talin prior to the Yom HaShuk, even if he has cash on hand, because when you agree to the employment, you're doing so with the understanding, you know the guy's not going to be able to pay you until the market day. So Rabbi Banner quotes from Rav Yashiv that if you take employment at an institution where you know that they never pay on time, it could be that there's an understanding that you're not going to get paid on time, and there's no violation of that it's right. There may still be issues there abundant, but there's no violation of the rights of Baal Talin, because you sign the contract with the understanding and the full knowledge that you're not going to be paid on time. Rav Sturmbach discusses Chela Gimel Simen Taf Ayin, Chela Gimel Simen Taf Ayin. So let's say the din of Baal Talin for a Skir Yom, it applies at the end of that day. For a Skir Shavua, if you get paid by the week, it applies at the end of the week. For a Skir Chodesh, you get paid by the month, it applies by the end of the month. So in your standard arrangement, let's say someone gets paid monthly, typically you get paid the first of the month, not the last day of the previous month, even though the term of employment for the month ends on the previous day. So is that a violation of Baal Talin if you're only going to pay the worker on the first of the month when the term of employment ended the day before? So you went tonight where you should have paid him, you didn't pay him. So Rav Sturmbach writes that if that's the norm in the industry standard, that's how business operates, that's understood. That's part of the contract when you take that job, that is considered the self malach, and that's the appropriate time to pay. Take a look then in Sif Yud. We referenced earlier, Ein Baal Abayis Over Mishum Baal Talin Elam Kein Tavo Asachir. So you only violate Baal Talin if the employee actually asks to be paid. Lo Tavo, Osha Tavo Lahayla Mos Liten Lo, Osha Bchayve Soshulchani Liten Lo, Fakibo La Liten Lo, Eino Over. But if he didn't ask to be paid, or the guy doesn't have any money to pay him, he'd love to pay him, but he doesn't have the money, so then you don't violate Baal Talin. So both can discuss, what does it mean to ask? It doesn't necessarily mean that the employee actually has to go and ask the boss to pay him. Even if the employee leaves the office at the end of the day and he waves goodbye to the boss, so that waving goodbye is an implicit pay me now if that's what he's expecting, and he's too embarrassed to ask explicitly for a payment. So unless there's if there's any indication that payment is expected, a person could still violate Baal Talin. Rav Sturmbach has the same tshuva that we referenced earlier. He quotes that you have to be very careful about this, because sometimes the employee is not going to ask explicitly, but he definitely wants wants to be paid, and he thinks you need a more explicit waiver of the expectation to pay in order to save yourself from the lav of Baal Tal. And he quotes a lashon of Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, and he says some people, the boss will go over to the worker and say, "Is it okay if I don't pay you till next week?" And the worker says yes, because he feels he has no choice, but he doesn't really want to not be paid till next week. He just doesn't feel like he doesn't have a choice. So that's not considered being mocha or not being toveya. That's trying to get around it. So Rosh Hashanah says that's not acceptable. He quotes the lashon of Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rabbi Binyamin Cohen and his Kalkas Binyamin says that, points out in the Frankel Rambam, this line was taken out. In the Frankel Rambam, they write that in most printings of the Rambam, this line doesn't appear. But the line that he quotes in the Rambam, the Tfus Rambam, Sefer Mitzvah Losa Se Reish Lamed Ches, his Hiranu Shalelu Ramos HaSachir, you shouldn't fool, trick the employee, V'lola Acher Skaris Leinu, not to hold on to his wages more than you're supposed to. He thinks, what does that mean that you shouldn't trick him? You shouldn't trick him into being mocha. You shouldn't trick him into saying, it's okay if you pay me next week, if that's not really sincere. Rav Sturmbach, Chelek Aleph, Simon, Tuf Tuf Sadi Tes, quotes a story from the Chavetz Chaim. And in the Mishpat of Poland, he says that he found this so fascinating and mechudashdik that he asked Rav Sturmbach, where did you hear this from? And Rav Sturmbach told him he heard it from an old person who actually saw this by the Chavetz Chaim himself. That when the Chavetz Chaim would hire a wagon driver, otherwise known as a taxi, he would be makbid to only pay the worker after he brought him to his destination, not to pay him in advance. Because he thought that if you're going to pay him in advance, then you haven't been mekayim the mitzvah b'yamoti tein scharo, because they only really mechuyav to pay him once he finished the job. So if you're going to pay him before he finishes the job, then you're missing out on the potential essay of the Yomot Titein Scharo. So he quotes that the Chavetz Chaim had this practice that when he would take a taxi, hire a wagon driver, he would only pay the wagon driver after the end of the journey. So the Mishpat HaPolim finds that very interesting. Why should that be the case? The Yomot Titein Scharo means you have to pay him on time. So what difference does it make if you pay him when you finish? If you want to give him in advance, so give him in advance. So why is that any less a key MSA? And he says that he thinks he found a riot to this from a Shita Mekubetzes in Bav Mitzia Pei Vav Amid Beis. Shita Mekubetzes Bav Abasa Pei Vav Amid Beis, quoting Reb Elia Mizrahi, that even though we assume that Schiris Machlokas, we assume Ein Schiris Mishalemes El Basof, that a Schiris relationship, if you have a rental agreement, so you only have to pay the rental fee at the end of the period of rental. Fine. But what happens if you paid earlier? So is that considered that you paid up the rental fee? Or is that a loan? Is it that I owe you money at the end of the month? I'm going to pay you at the beginning of the month, and that's considered to be a loan until the end of the month, when that'll transform into payment for the month's rental. So the Shita Mekubetzes quotes that if you pay the rental fee early, that's considered paying the rental fee. It's not that it's a loan that's going to be transformed into rental fee. That's considered the rental fee. So the Mishpat HaPolim thinks that the same should be true here. If you owe the worker money for the job that he's doing, so you have to pay him at the end of the day. If you want to pay him earlier, it's not that you're loaning him the money until he's done with the job. It's that you're paying him his wages. He says that he brought this riot to Rav Bloy, the author of the Piskei Choshen, and he was masking, he thought that was a good raya against the story from the Chavetz Chaim, or whatever the explanation of the Chavetz Chaim is. In the Mishpat HaPolim, he discusses the following. Are Kol El Avreichim considered to be Bechlal the lav of Baal Tolin? If you run a Kol El and you don't pay your Avreichim on time, have you violated Baal Talin? So he quotes, this is on page Taf Mem Tes, he quotes B'Shem Rav Yashiv secondhand, that if you're learning Torah, you're only allowed to get Schar Batala. So there can't be a Baal Talin is for a worker. So if you're getting paid for learning, that's not working, that's Schar Batala. And there's no violation of Baal Talin for Schar Batala.
Also, whose sucker are they?
The Hanhal of the Kolov, let's say.
Is that the case? Is that
well, he's saying that's not the case, but in theory,
he's saying for a different reason. He's saying that because of interns can't get paid. But I'm saying, are they really employees of the Rosh
Kollel? Well, no, they're related. The fact that you're only getting Schar B'Tal means you're not getting paid for what you're doing. In theory, if we did view it as Schar B'Tal and you got paid for what you're doing, presumably you'd be an employee of the Hanhal of the Kollel. But then he says, maybe that's not so pashut. He quotes Chazon Ish that the din is that if a poel is called b'em sayom, so you're not allowed, under most circumstances, a employee is allowed to back out of a contract, a vaday hemelo, a dimla vaday, so that everyone is only an evet to Kosh Baruch, you're not an evet to your boss, so you have the right to back out of a contract. If you're going to leave the boss high and dry, so then you have to find someone to replace you, or you may have to, there may be consequences, but the theory is that you're allowed to back out of a, if you're not going to leave the employer stock, then you're allowed to back out of an employment. So what's the din if you back out of employment in terms of getting paid for what you've done until then? So there's a notion of paying kapol batal. In certain situations, you're not going to pay him the higher rate wages, but you have to pay him kapol batal. You have to pay him like someone who has nothing, there's no other source of employment, nothing better to do, which is a more minimal wage. So the Chazon Ish writes that even when you pay someone kapol batal, which is less than a full-fledged worker, some kind of a middle situation of employment, so the din of Baal Talin applies there also. So even though it's not a full-fledged worker, you can still violate Baal Talin. So the Mishpat HaPolim thinks maybe that's true by an Avreich as well, that even if it's Schar Baal Talin, so you're not technically an employee, but anytime you're getting paid for doing something, even if it's Kapol Baal Talin or Schar Baal Talin, you may still potentially violate Baal Talin. But again, going back to what we said earlier, if it's a call that never pays on time, so then presumably you entered into the relationship with the understanding that that you know what you are into. So bottom line, it's the Chafetz Chaim in his Hakdamah to this parak in Avos Chesed notes that he thinks this is a lab that many people aren't aware of. He thinks that there's so many people who aren't careful about this, not because they're malicious, but because they just are uneducated. And just like a person would never knowingly miss the opportunity to be Mekayim Mitzvah Shofar and Lulav, people shouldn't miss the opportunity to be Mekayim the Mitzvah B'Yamot Titein Scharo and potentially avoid the Averos of Baal Talin and the other related Lavin that we have over here. So something that Thomas Chaim thought consciousness needed to be raised about, and hopefully we've reminded ourselves of this as well. Yeah.